Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. I'm so delighted we're able to share this time with you today. We're going to wait for my guest, Beverly Thompson. We were going to be talking with her today about a phenomenal woman. Her name, well, it is a woman that for many in the military, they're very familiar with her. Her name is Evangeline Jamison. And her story is just absolutely incredible. So we're waiting to reach Beverly, and her book is titled, The Colonel is a Lady. But until we're able to get in touch with her, whatever the complications might be for the moment, we're going to just share a few things with you. And one of the things that I feel is so important, we're coming upon this month, a very special day, and that is Memorial Day, when we want to be able to honor, remember, and respect those men and women who have dedicated their lives many times to protecting us or doing what they feel is a job that many times nobody else wants to do. So this story for me was especially poignant, and I'm really looking forward to being able to discuss it. The Colonel is a Lady, the Grand Dame of the Vietnam Women's Memorial in Washington, D.C., which, believe me, is just absolutely incredibly powerful. So let's move forward. And prior to being able to talk to Beverly, I wanted to share a story with you about how people in the military often have a big adjustment to civilian life. It's not something that many people can have an empathy for unless they themselves have gone through experiences where there can be an understanding, a compassion, an awareness that when you walk in the roads or walk on the roads of war, it is very, very hard to communicate about that. It's a very difficult thing to do. And I wanted to talk today about a woman. Her name, interestingly enough, is Donna Backler. And she said that her brother was killed. He had joined the Army. He was private first class. And he's in a military cemetery in New Jersey. And he was suffering at the time that he was in service from post-traumatic stress disorder. She joined the military herself. She was an Army reservist. She took part in the recovery effort at Ground Zero after 9/11, and she served in Kuwait during Operation Iraqi Freedom, where she sustained a number of ankle injuries. And her brother sadly committed suicide. He wasn't able to make the adjustment to, civilian life. And when her tour of duty ended in March 2003, there were a lot of things that were in her head. And post-traumatic stress syndrome is something that people can suffer from, whether they're in the military, whether they're in the armed forces. It could be any number of circumstances. It relates to severe trauma. And she said, you can't see it, but it's always there. And she fights it the best she can, but she said, I'm always on guard in a crowded environment. And part of that is from her military training, but it's also being mindful that she is in control of her mind, and she has to be vigilant about controlling her emotional reactions. Now, what she found really helped her, that I thought was especially meaningful, was grapefruit. Now, not the grapefruit like you buy at the grocery store. Grapefruit is the name of your psychiatric service dog. And I've got a picture of him in front of me, and oh, he's just beautiful. He's a black lab. And she said, Grapefruit is with her 24/7, just about. She said he enabled her to reduce her dependence on pain medication, and he's helped her calm fears about flying, meeting people. In other words, he is enabling her to deal with the label that has been put on her, post-traumatic stress syndrome, and overcome it. But one of the challenges that she's had, as many people who are coming out of the military are having today, is that people are concerned. They're concerned about hiring individuals from the military, and most of these people are extremely well-trained, but they're concerned. And, of course, her dog goes with her everywhere, so as soon as they find out about the dog, they get very anxious. She had sent out over 500 resumes, and she said people look at the dog and say, nope, we're not going to hire you. She said she's never been called back for a second interview. And she said, I really have been so frustrated. Well, there is a wonderful organization called the Wounded Warrior Project that is creating support for those individuals in the military that have been injured, that have had to go through major adjustments, helping them to find work. Now, it's tough. There's no guarantees with it. And she said, one of the things that we've had to end up considering is moving, going where more jobs are available. So she and her husband, who also has retired from the military, are planning on moving. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to share this story with you is because there is such a significant challenge to people that so often we don't hear discussed. And in the economic times that we've been evolving through, many times we have to think outside of the box. What can we do? What can we ourselves perhaps look to in a way of a different positioning? How can we take a step forward so that we can look at alternatives that maybe otherwise we wouldn't have even considered? And I'll give you an example. In California, there was a challenge, a big challenge, and this is digressing a little bit. There was a big challenge with dealing with old oils and grease. Now, believe it or not, I'm not talking about car oil. I am talking about food oils. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of restaurants. And in San Francisco, someone looked at this challenge, because if you just dump grease into garbage dumps, it's not going to break down very well, even though it is a food substance. But when you cook it, when you use it for deep frying and you have it at very high temperatures, it changes its molecular structure. Not only that, but you have debris from whatever food you fried in it, and it now, if you've ever done any frying of food, you know how ugly it can get, especially if the temperatures get too hot. Well, someone had the concept that we can take what is literally millions of gallons of oil, cooking oil, that you can't use anymore because it reaches a point, depending on how much food you process through the oil, even if you have a filtering system, about how long you can use it before it becomes toxic. So maybe it's a day, maybe it's 3 days, but you're going to have to throw it out. Again, before it, we used to go into a waste dump. Not anymore. There is a company in San Francisco. They go around to restaurants, and they have these huge trucks. The restaurants take all of their old cooking oil and put it in massive buckets and or barrels, and they put it out. The guy pulls up in his truck, gets out this massive hose, sucks up all of this old oil and grease into this massive, massive vehicle. And that's what he does every single day of the week. Now, the restaurants, they're happy to get rid of this stuff that they really don't know what to do with. What does the person do that had the idea? And I honestly don't know the man's name. I happened to see it on a program last night. And what he does, he converts it into diesel, biodiesel. They have a filtering process system that enables them to take what would be a throwaway, ugly, you know, toxic food product and convert it into something different. It took someone being able to look at what is, was a negative to convert it into a positive. And that is so extremely important. So, my apologies, I had a Scotty that all of a sudden just got very excited. Anyway, when I was looking at this information on the television, I thought, wow, this is really incredible. Because here we've got something that is occurring that is so dramatic, and yet you don't hear anything about it. How many other ideas, how many other concepts are put into play that require thinking outside of the box? Well, that is what this man did. And when it comes to looking at situations like this woman, Donna, who is in the military, has gone through such difficult times and is still working with challenges, this is absolutely something that she's finding, that she's having to look at situations differently. Now, maybe there is some kind of a stigma that people associate with a service dog. In my mind, that's a positive. That's not a negative. But we sometimes have to overcome our perceptions and our views of what we look at in life. Sometimes we need to question ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, why is it that I have this particular view? Is it something that maybe I should reevaluate? And I think that this is something that's so important. And it's not an easy thing to learn. And in college, we're not taught to look this way. When we're going through school and when we're coming up through experiences in life, we're given black and whites, and we're saying, this is good, this is bad, this is such and such, this is so and so. And all of that is very, very significant in many ways. It's important. We have to have some kind of guidance factor. However, there comes a point when we need to start questioning, and that is what causes, I think, a lot of growth. Is there a way of doing something differently? How can we change our perspective? With Donna and her husband, they are going to be moving to another area where there are actually more jobs and more opportunities, and perhaps a much different way of thinking. Wherever we go, we always take ourselves. We are never going to be able to leave us behind because we live with ourselves 24 hours a day. So I have a great deal of appreciation and respect for the many people, not just in the military, but anyone that's gone through challenges in life, whatever they may have been and whatever they might be at the moment. And the fact that they're willing to explore is important. And I think that's something we need to remember for ourselves. Don't be afraid to brainstorm with people. Don't be afraid to reach out for help, to ask questions, to see what maybe you can do that's, well, unlike what you've done before. It may take you out of your comfort zone, but it'll give you an opportunity to stretch yourself. And in the process, you may find that you have a whole new application of opportunity that you're going to be able to sign up to experience and to live your life with a sense of quality and purpose. All of this is extremely important. And I think that as we are getting close to the Memorial Day holiday and we look back at history and we look back at things, and it's so easy sometimes to criticize and it's so easy to point our fingers when we don't understand what's really going on. And sometimes we need to just listen or maybe even ask questions. And if we find that people don't always want to open up or communicate with us, maybe we just have to be a little bit more patient. Maybe it will take our doing some research, investigating some things, to find out perhaps the stories of others that maybe have had experiences of their own. Keeping an open mind doesn't mean you become a garbage dump for everybody else's junk. It means that you're discerning and you're willing to grow. You're willing to learn. You're willing to expand yourself, your capabilities, your talents, and accept opportunities, regardless of how that costuming may appear to you initially, finding that, well, it actually fits you quite well. So who knows? Donna may end up in an environment where, because of what she has learned with her dog Grapefruit, she may find that that is an area where she's going to be able to contribute to help and benefit other people. She might choose to get involved with animals. She might find that the skills that she's acquired in the military are going to carry her forth in ways that she would never dream or have even possibly imagined. Just as I was sharing you this story about the person that invented a biodiesel from garbage grease, well, who says that we can't do the same thing in our own way, in our own lives? It's quite an exceptional experience. We're still trying to reach Beverly Thompson. The book we were going to be talking about is The Colonel is a Lady. Sometimes things happen with people, and we have not been able to reach her yet. And if we are able to do so, we will be interrupting the line, or I should say bringing her online. So in the interim, if you wanted to give me a buzz, the telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a wonderful story with you about a young lady. Actually, it is the stepdaughter of a woman by the name of Mary. It's about her stepdaughter, Tiffany. And I think this story is really great. But before I do that, there are some other items that I wanted to bring forth that, well, have to do with safety. So many times, we don't pay attention to things. We get in our comfort zones, and safety is very, very important. And we're coming up to vacation time. And in the aspect of safety, many times we don't pay attention to taking care of what we need to take care of before we leave. And sadly, I know here in the Seattle area, we have had quite a few burglaries and situations that have been occurring. And people were in environments that they thought were absolutely safe, they didn't have to worry about anything, and they found that they hadn't paid attention to what needed to be done. Now, one of the things that is with a vacation, you need to be sure that if you have neighbors like we do that we interact with, you need to ask them if they would check your mailbox. If you haven't put a stop on your mail, and that's something you should do. If you know you're going to be gone for a period of time, you need to go to your post office, fill out a card, say, don't deliver mail, hold it until XYZ day, and just leave it at that. And that's fine. That does the job. But sometimes people come around, and this has happened in our own neighborhood. They will go and put these little things on your doorknobs or on your door handle, your front door. And maybe it's for pizza or it's for tree trimming or whatever, but they leave it right on your front door. Well, you may want to have your neighbor just take a glance at your front door periodically, and if they see anything like this hanging on the door, take it off. Now, why is this important? There have been those people that have deliberately put things like this on doors to see how long it takes before someone takes it off. They want to see what their time factor is. Now, this is extremely important, and the reason that I tell you this is because I had a very, very close friend a few years back who had her routine every day. She had her routine. She got up. She went to work. Her kids went to school. You know the drill. We all have these routines. Well, she happened to have this nosy neighbor. This neighbor always drove Vivian nuts. She just, this woman just irritated her no end. And she was an elderly lady, and she'd always be peering over at Vivian's house. Well, they had lived there for a number of years. This one day, Vivian, she gets a call from the neighbor. Now, for some reason, Vivian had left her phone number with her neighbors in case anything ever happened with her kids. She gets this call from this elderly neighbor. Mom, you better come home right now. And Vivian was busy at work. She said, oh, my goodness, what is this little old lady bothering to call me for? She said, well, why do I need to come home from work? She said, I don't know, but your couch is upside down in your living room. Now, this elderly lady could see in through some section of window that Vivian had open. Vivian said, what do you mean my couch is upside down? She said, well, I see it upside down. You better get home. Well, as it turned out, it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when she got the call. Vivian races home. To her horror, her front door is open. She walks into her house. And exactly as her nosy neighbor had told her, her couch was upside down. She found a goldfish bowl smashed on the living room floor. Her entire house was completely empty. The only reason they hadn't taken the couch and the reason they dropped goldfish bowl is they became aware that someone had notified the police, and it was the nosy elderly lady. She knew something was up. What had turned out after the police came, and Vivian was just terrified because it was very close to the time this robbery had occurred, very close to the time that her daughter would have been walking home from school. As it turned out, her daughter had been delayed at school, and she walked in shortly after Vivian had got there, which was about 3:30. There was a group of burglars that had their police radio capability at the time, and they were hearing police calls and everything else. The only reason they left the couch and the goldfish bowl crashed on the floor because they heard the police radio. This was an organized group of burglars. Now, this happened down in Los Angeles. They had watched, according to the police, this was a very efficient group. They had watched the patternings of the people in neighborhoods. They'd send out scouts, and most of the time these were teenagers that were doing it. And they were scouting, they were watching people's schedules. Once they figured out what people's routines were, they then would set up the trucks. They had a team of men. They would break open the door, and within a matter of less than a half an hour to 45 minutes, a home would be literally stripped of everything. Because of the interruption, the police call they heard on the radio, the guys had pagers, they would get beeped, they'd know to vacate immediately. The police told Vivian that all of the items, probably in her home, had been fenced out within less than an hour. They said that this was very, very well organized, very, very carefully planned out. They had also hit a number of other homes in the area. So it's very, very important that things be paid attention to. If you have automatic lights, that's great. Let your neighbors know. If you trust your neighbors, let them know you're going to be gone. Maybe have them come over and turn on the sprinklers like you would do if you were going to be gone, if that is something you have for your yard. You might want to be very, very thoughtful about how you prepare yourself. You want to go on your vacation, you want to enjoy it. Always let your alarm company know so that they can notify the police. If they know you're not going to be there, then they have that information and that gives them a red flag if there should be a problem with the alarm. These are things that I think are very, very important for the holiday season. Also, something that I know here in the Pacific Northwest we have to pay attention. You don't store anything like a ladder or wood next to your home where, let's say, potential burglars could use it as a stepladder. So there's a number of things you need to pay attention to. A good way to find out what you should be aware of is to contact your local police department and ask them, what do they recommend as, well, safety precautions when you go on vacation? This is a time of the year when we're going to want to go, we're going to want to visit, we're going to want to do, and it is going to be extremely important. Well, I think we have got our guest, Beverly Thompson. Am I correct, Bev?
It is just a caller to your show.
Oh, it's a caller. Okay, great. I wasn't sure. I thought it might be Bev. All right, we've got a caller. Let's take the caller. Hi, dear. Where are you calling in from?
Phoenix.
You're calling in from Phoenix, and your first name or initial?
Sarah.
I'm sorry, your voice cut out there.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Sarah.
Sarah? Okay, Sarah. Thanks for calling in. All right, the first thing that I'm looking at, Sarah, is detail is important. You are going to find yourself experiencing a setback with a friend, but I want you to not take that setback too seriously because I believe that your friend is going through some challenges, and what I would encourage you to do is sort of step aside. Allow them to go through whatever changes and shifts they're going through. Don't make any judgments. Wait until you have a time where you can really get all the facts. But this friend may want you to take on a responsibility you don't want. And that's where the setback comes in, because when you get the request, you're going to feel as if something has been put into positioning that is really not fair. And what I'd encourage you to do is make a comment to them, I'd like to think about this before I give you an answer. Get your emotions out of the way, because the first emotion is going to be, whoa, this is not something I want to get involved with. So you need to pay attention to that. But instead of saying no immediately and giving a very blunt response, I would say, let me think about this for a minute. Then, because you know you're not going to want to get involved in whatever they're presenting, what you can say then is call them back, say, I appreciate your asking me about this, but I am not in a position to really take this on at this time. I really cannot do this. Perhaps you can find someone else, but I'm just not going to be able to do it. I wish you well, and chit-chat or whatever you want to do, but say no. But you can say no in a diplomatic way, and they're going to perhaps get a little upset. Maybe make a comment or two that could hurt your feelings if, you know, you let it hurt your feelings, and you just have to be firm and say, no, it just isn't something I can do. I wish I could tell you somebody that I could recommend you to, but I don't know. So be honest, but be diplomatic. And that doesn't mean evade the issue. It means face the issue and say no, but you can be gracious in your no. And that is going to alleviate a lot of stress. And if something agitates you, feel like this person is trying to take advantage of you, just take a long walk and let the steam work off, because this person really does not have what I call the logical system of thinking process that maybe you would employ. So don't get stuck in this person's emotional stuff. That's not your job. And I think you'll be able to weather this quite well. It will not mean the dissolution of the friendship. It just means a different positioning. And you have to allow them to go through their growth and their development, and it may take them a while. Don't worry about it. It's okay. And when they get settled in and settled down, then they're going to be able to make a choice. And that choice is going to be a very, very good one. What would you like to ask me today?
Oh, thank you so much. I am constantly being asked, you know, to do things, and thank you for giving me a heads up on that. Normally, I try to be aware of, you know, boundaries, but sometimes things happen, you know, where
yes, they
things
do.
Come out.
Sarah, I am looking at the clock. Yeah. I need to take a break. Will you stay on the line?
Oh, yes, please. Thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a minute. If you want to give me a call, 888-627-6008 is the number to call into. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
We are back with Sarah, and if you want to give me a call, 888-627-6008 is the number to call in to. Hello, Sarah. What's your question for me? I'm sorry, we had to take a break.
Oh, no, thank you very much, Don. I just wanted to know, yesterday I presented information to a group, yesterday and the day before it was the same group, and I wondered if you saw the executive director of that group favorably impressed, if we'll be working together, if I'll be offered, contract for work.
Well, let me say this to you. The executive director was not paying 100% attention to the presentation you were giving. The executive director had gotten news just before the meeting. Actually, there had been something that they had been working on the day before the meeting, and while you were doing the presentation, they were very preoccupied with something that happened before the meeting. So I don't think that this is in the bag yet. What I'd like for you to consider doing is following up with the individual, and I would follow up in a way and manner that you're able to talk with them directly and ask them if there were a couple of points that they had. No, ask them, let me say it this way. You need to find out from them how much attention they paid to the presentation. Let me phrase it this way. So you may ask them, what were two of the most important points that they felt you had presented. And what you're going to find is like there's a pause. So this person is very preoccupied. And then I would just wait, and if they don't respond, you might want to then ask them, is there an area in the presentation that I made to you that you would like to have me make stronger? Was there anything that you felt that I didn't address? And listen carefully, and you're going to find, again, they didn't pay attention. So I would say I'd love to have an opportunity to cover any of those points that you may have felt I didn't give you enough information on. Would there be an opportunity maybe in the next couple of days? But get some feedback from the person, because I don't think they heard your total presentation.
And you're completely accurate.
And I don't want you to have a defensive posturing with this person, because I think the person likes you. This individual was not paying attention. So when you ask these questions, it puts them into the positioning of going, uh-oh, what went on? Do I remember? And they're going to have a blank. And say, I would love to set up a follow-up opportunity to chat with you, because I would sincerely appreciate your feedback. I know you have a busy schedule. Could we meet for lunch? Could we have a cup of coffee? Could we perhaps meet after work at Starbucks, and maybe I can share some information with you? And go prepared. Go prepared. And if the person says, oh, yeah, I didn't, you know, you didn't cover this, or so, and say, gee, I'm so glad you brought that to my attention, even though you may have had 15 minutes that you covered it. They didn't hear it. So you want to develop a relationship, an association with this individual, because I think once you are able to do that, you're going to have a chance to have not only the foot in the door, but you're going to be able to walk through the door. Am I making sense to you?
Perfect sound.
This is a very interesting scenario that you're dealing with. So there's no blame game here. There's no guilt. Just an awareness the person was not having the mindset to pay attention. It would have been better if they would have said to you, I have these situations I'm dealing with, I really am not going to be able to focus on this presentation. Can we reschedule? However, this person felt very responsible. They had made the commitment to you, but you did not have their attention. And it wasn't through any fault of your own. It was just they had some fires to put out, and they were in a dilemma.
Absolutely.
So just approach it from a different positioning. I don't think the door is closed on you. I don't think the contract is in the bag. I think the follow-through is important.
Thank you.
That helps?
It does. I just am working to bring some kind of contractual work in. I wonder if you see that happening.
Yes, I'm actually looking at four different contracts that you're going to have the opportunity to work with. The timing on these contracts is going to be critical. And so you need to be sure that you have a team of people that you can rely upon to be consistent in delivering whatever they need to do. For example, let's say you were in advertising and marketing, and you needed to have a printer that if you presented certain materials to them for promotional stuff for a company that you had contracted with, and again, this is just an example, you'd say, if I have this deadline, can you turn it around? And they said, sure, I can. Just give me 24 hours, and I've got it. And that, you know, that's what you need. You need to have people that are going to be a part of the team that enables you to get results, a virtual assistant, whatever it is that you might require, so that they have this timeliness in response. Because I'm looking at two little contracts, and then I'm looking at one medium-sized contract, and then one big contract that could go on for a good year and a half to 2 years. So you're going to need a mixture. You're not going to be able to have them all one size. It's not going to work that way.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You have a magnificent weekend now.
You too. Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Hey, yesterday I was not able, we ran out of time, to share with you an awesome, awesome chili recipe. Now, it's not chili. This is the chilies as the seasoning. So if you haven't had a paper and a pen, if you will grab that, and I'll just give you some information about some of my upcoming guests. On Monday, we are going to be talking with Diane Carbonell, 150 pounds, gone forever. Whoa. This is a woman that went to Weight Watchers, I think she said, 80 times. I mean, I can't imagine that. But she had had the Battle of the Bulge big time. So we're going to be talking with Diane on Monday. And then Act of Valor, George Galderisi. Now, this is a book that Tom Clancy wrote along with George and another individual. It is an incredible book. And apparently the movie has come out. I've not had the opportunity to see it. And I guess it is just incredibly good. So we're going to be talking with George on Tuesday. And then we are going to, on Thursday, talk for Prepare for the Landings. Michael Elgeon is going to be my guest. This is a man who has had experiences with ETs, and he has an associate that he put together this fascinating book on various experiences that, well, when you hear them about other people, they really make you wonder, is this for real? Well, we're going to have that going on next week. So I wanted to let you know about some of the guests that were coming up. I'm sorry my guest today, Beverly Thompson, for whatever reason wasn't able to make it. But regardless, we're moving forward. Hey, you've got that pad of paper and pen. We're going to be talking about patatas. Yes, patatas bravas. Now, for those that you know Spanish, you know that's potatoes. What is bravas? Fierce. So these are fierce potatoes. One of the things I like to cook, and I've done this for years, having pan-fried potatoes. Sometimes I mix the potatoes. I have sweet potatoes. I have white potatoes. And you can mix all kinds of potatoes. But potatoes have different types of textures and consistency. Like your Yukon Gold, a lot of people just love that potato. Some people don't because of the texture. So it depends on your taste preferences. But usually I like to put a little bit of bacon in and, of course, a lot of seasoning and pan-fried. Oh, it's so good. Well, when I came across this recipe, I thought, oh my goodness, not only is it colorful, but the flavors are really going to tantalize your taste buds. It's great with eggs, with different types of meat. You can fix it breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It's just really a simple recipe, but you're using a lot of seasonings. So I wanted to share this recipe with you. It's very good as a side dish or, it's served four people as a side dish, or it's enough for two if you wanted to make it main dish. Sometimes people choose not to have meat. If you're vegetarian, that's wonderful. This might be something that would just be right up your alley. Now, this is what goes into it. You're going to need about 14 ounces, almost a pound. I'd round it off to about a pound of potatoes. Now, what's recommended for this recipe is what they call the new waxy potatoes or a pink six apple potato. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not familiar with those potatoes in the Pacific Northwest. So, depending on where you are in the country, you might want to try just plain russet potatoes. Or if you have a red potato, whatever it is that you want to try, try it. It's fun to experiment with food. Don't ever let a recipe intimidate you. Just look at it and say, well, maybe I need to adjust something here. The key to this recipe is seasoning. A tablespoon of olive oil, two garlic cloves, and you want to crush them. You want to crush them there. And you need one hot red chili, deseeded and finely chopped. Now, if you don't like a lot of heat, then use a chili that is going to have less heat. But this recipe calls for one red hot chili, deseeded and finely chopped. You're going to need 2 to 3 large ripe tomatoes. And, oh, this is the perfect time of the year. The tomatoes are just awesome. And you're going to need a pinch of sweet smoked paprika. just a pinch of them. You're going to need a half a teaspoon of regular paprika. You should have a pinch of saffron strands. That's just a tiny amount, just a pinch. You need a teaspoon of dried wild oregano. If you don't have the wild oregano, use regular oregano. You're going to need an additional 2 tablespoons of olive oil, or if you like the flavor, have a tablespoon, an additional tablespoon of olive oil, and a tablespoon of chili oil. Yes, yes, got to tickle your taste buds. And then you want to have sea salt and some freshly ground pepper. Now, this is what you do. You want to cut your potatoes, whatever kind you're going to use, into 3/4-inch pieces, and you want to put them into a large pan, salt pan, a saucepan, of lightly salted boiling water. You want to cover them and bring everything back to a boil, and then you cook until they're cooked through but still firm. So you need to take your cake tester, maybe, and just make sure that it's still firm but it's cooked. And you drain them after you cook them, and then you pat them dry with kitchen paper towels. If you don't want to use paper towels, use regular towels. Just, they have to be dry them. Now what you do, you take a tablespoon of olive oil or whatever your favorite oil is, put it in a pan, a smaller frying pan, not a gigantic one. Have it heating over medium heat. Put your garlic and your red chili in. And just let it cook for a little bit. And, hey, we're going to have to take a break here for just a minute. I'll give you the rest of the directions on patatas bravas. And we'll share more after we come back from the break. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-627-6008. Let me go back to the directions for your patatas bravas. Well, these fierce potatoes, and they have got wonderful flavors. Now, let me repeat what I said just before I went on break. A tablespoon of oil in a small frying pan over medium heat. Put your garlic and your hot chili, or a milder chili if you want, in the pan, and you just saute it for about a minute. The garlic should be fragrant. You don't want it turning brown because then it's going to get bitter. So you want that wonderful garlicky, you know, chili flavor come out. Then you add your tomatoes, and you just maybe cut them up a little bit with your wooden spoon, and they're going to be sort of like chunky. And you just let that simmer at medium-high heat for about 2 minutes. Then you want to add your paprika, your saffron, and your oregano. Now, you want to stir this and let it cook for about another 5 to 10 minutes. And if you want to lower the heat a little bit under it so that it's bubbling but not splattering all over your stove, I've done that sometimes where anything I work with tomatoes in the sauces, they're just bubbling like crazy and I find it's flying through the air and ending up coating my stove and my kitchen floor. So if you want to turn the heat down a little bit, that's okay too. What you want here, you want the flavors, the seasonings, to be able to blend and mingle, and your tomatoes are going to soften a little bit. Now you remove it from the heat, and a lot of the juice will have evaporated. So it's sort of got a thicker consistency to it. Not real thick, just a thicker consistency, not watery. Now you're going to remove that pan, that small saucepan. You're going to remove it from heat, cover it, put it to the side. Now for this next step, you're going to need a bigger frying pan. And you're going to put 2 tablespoons of oil in the big frying pan over medium-high heat again. And now you're going to put in your potatoes. Now, of course, your potatoes are dry, and you're going to fry the potato cubes until they're golden brown. And that is not going to take all that much time, especially if your pan is nice and hot, your oil is hot, you put it in. Season the potatoes with salt and pepper if you like, and then just before you serve, you put this delicious sauce over the potatoes. And it just is marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. And it's something that's going to be so different. It has a delicious flavor. And if you fix it the first time and just taste test it yourself, if it's a little bit too spicy for you, then just turn the heat down of the chili. But the truth is, it adds a delicious flavor. And it goes good wonderfully with barbecued meat. So it's really, really good. And I just think it's something fun to try different things, especially with a staple like a potato. I mean, I love potatoes, but sometimes you want to do something a little bit different. And what I'd add to this recipe, I would add cheese. I would use, for me, I really like the extra sharp cheddar cheese. Really good stuff. Oh, and I'll pass along another tip to you. We have discovered the green pans. These are ceramic cooking pans. I like stainless steel, the many times things thick. Well, they have now made a ruling, apparently, regarding Teflon, because they are finding that it's very toxic. Well, if you've ever done what I've done, one time I had a Teflon pan on the stove, and it needed to be at a particular heat for a recipe, and it was just awful. It got too hot, very toxic, it turned, sets off fumes. Well, now there are these green ceramic pans, and finally I decided to get one. They're terrific. They're absolutely wonderful, and you can use them on top of the stove and absolutely in the oven. Now, I'm not being paid to say this. I'm just saying, as a cook, I just really sometimes am in a dilemma because I love the Teflon, like the idea of things not sticking. Well, things are changing, folks, and there is a non-toxic way now where you don't have to have what is not good for you in your kitchen. Stainless steel is always good. Cast iron is wonderful, but I don't know about you, cast iron cans stick unless you really, really season your pans well. So anyway, that's just a little bit of trivia here. I know that we're just about out of time. There was a wonderful story that I was going to share with you, but I'm going to have to wait on that. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. No matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances are, like the young woman I spoke about earlier, that is dealing with the issues of PTSD, someone who's creative, an inventor, that found a way to use deadbeat cooking oil, toxic cooking oil, and create it into something that is beneficial for the environment and on many different levels. You can do the same thing. Remember always, you have the capacity to pull out of yourself something that you were born with, something utterly magnificent. Because that's who you are. This is Donna Seaborn. I'm so delighted you were able to join me today. Have an absolutely awesome weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday talking about how you can be fit as a fiddle and enjoy life to the fullest. This is Donna Seaborn. God bless. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Seaborn Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Seaborn Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.